Tonight's service will be led by Abby, our mind clerk, and Alan Story, our Bible study leader for this week. So let us take a moment to quiet our hearts and prepare for worship. Good evening, everyone, and happy 45th Earth Day. My favorite holiday. Living in a place like this, in a place where nature cannot be ignored, where we see the glory of creation each time we step out our front door, every day may look kind of like Earth Day. But how does our core value of ecology, we celebrate and seek to serve creation's well-being through faithful patterns of daily living, translate to the outside? We can credit the first Earth Day in 1970 for launching the modern environmental movement, creating the Environmental Protection Agency, and inspiring legislation designed to defend the planet. But we know that it takes more than legislation to get people to recycle, drive less, and print on both sides of the paper. Tonight, in the season of Easter, we will hear the story of the resurrection and how it can be a light on the path toward stewardship of this great gift of creation, the earth and all its inhabitants. Please take out your opening dialogue. We join with the earth and with each other
to bring new life to the land, to restore the waters, to refresh the air.
We join with the earth and with each other
to renew the forests, to care for the plants, to protect the creatures.
We join with the earth and with each other
to celebrate the seas, to rejoice the sunlight, to sing the song of the stars.
We join with the earth and with each other
to recall our destiny, to renew our spirits, to reinvigorate our bodies.
We join with the earth and with each other
to create the human community, to promote justice and peace, to remember our children.
We are full of the grace of creation.
We are graceful, we are grateful, we rejoice in all life.
We sing together hymn 739, Touch the Earth Lightly.
Nourish the life of The reading for tonight is from Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look. There is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, come now and grow our faith. Come and deepen our hope and strengthen our love. And come and water within each of us here the desire to be your faithful friends forever. Amen. Well, did you notice what the woman were carrying to the tomb? Did you notice what else they were carrying to the tomb? They came to the tomb carrying a question. They carried the spices in their hands, but they carried a much heavier question in their hearts. Who will move the stone away? And it's incredible that people with that question would still go to the tomb. They would have been perfectly understood if they had sat at home with that question, allowing the question to keep them at home. You're going to carry spices to anoint Jesus, but you can't get to Jesus because there's a stone in the way, so why would you go? And yet they went, carrying the question, but they went. We know so-and-so, we all know so-and-so. They will not respond to our act of forgiveness or our act of kindness. So we don't go to them, because we know. What's the point? We're not going to be able to get through to them. There's something in the way between us and them. And who's going to roll their way? No, so we don't go to them. Our relationship has been like this for so long. There is no reason to believe that our relationship will change. We want to anoint Jesus in this relationship. But how will we get to Jesus in this, so we stay at home? It's Earth Day. How do we even begin to heal the Earth? How do we even begin? question can keep us at home. But not them. They carry a question, and it was their willingness to go to the tomb while still carrying a question of not knowing how to get to Jesus. And I think Jesus honors people who carry questions. So don't let any stones prevent you from going to anoint Jesus in your most intimate relationships. And in the most huge climate earth issues before us. The second thing I notice in the passage, Jesus has got a PA. You know that? He's got a PA there. You go to look for the boss and you get the secretary, and the secretary says, sorry, he's not here, he's not available. That's kind of what they bump into, you know, looking for, no, he's not here, sorry. We learn that Jesus is seldom where we expect Jesus to be. Jesus is seldom where we expect him to be. We should have learned that lesson at his birth. The Magi went to the palace, but he wasn't there. Seldom where you expect him. He's in a stable somewhere. He didn't spend his life hanging out with the ordained. He spent his life in places where we didn't expect him to be. You will find Jesus next to the water or on the water. You'll find Jesus on the beach. You'll find him in a boat. You'll find him in a marketplace. Occasionally you'll find him in the temple. You'll find him in the fields. You'll find him in a mountain. You'll find him in a river. The only time, really, that Jesus hears God's voice is when he's on a mountain or in a river. We spend so much money on our buildings. Jesus was never reported to have heard God's voice in the temple. We should be spending all our resources saving the mountains and the rivers as we are. Yeah. Because it's those places that we may hear God's voice far more clearly than any other. Jesus is seldom where we expect Jesus to be. You are more likely to bump into Jesus en route to church than at church. Thirdly, the secretary says to these three women, go and tell the disciples. Let me just get this straight. Isn't it disciples who are meant to go and tell people about Jesus? Here you've got Jesus sending people to the disciples. It seems to me that the people who really need to be evangelized are the disciples. I mean, if you read the Gospels, it's pretty clear that Jesus seemed to have a kind of a succession plan. The succession plan was Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. I mean, they kind of got front row seats to everything, didn't they? Peter, James, and John. Here, there's no Peter, James, and John. Here it is, three women who are told, you who are not part of the inner circle need to go and tell those disciples. I'm convinced, when I joined the church, I thought I was going to evangelize the world. I'm convinced that our work is to evangelize the church, to help the church be church. I meet on a daily basis more and more people outside of the church that get it. A woman who stays in Mannenberg, Rochelle, she has a 7-year-old daughter. Her 7-year-old daughter was shot in the crossfire of gang violence in the area. So she went to the gang headquarters and said, you know, from the shooting that took place however many days ago, my 7-year-old daughter was shot. That's not on. I want to know who did it. I'm not going to press charges. I just want to know who. You go find the person who did it, because this is not on. A few days later, she gets called, and she gets introduced to a 17-year-old boy. She said, "You shoot my daughter? He said, "Yes." He says, "Where are you from? Where's your home? Take me to your home. Take me to your parents." And she sat down with a 17-year-old and with the parents and began to work out a new way of trying to help this young man live life differently. On the streets of Mannenberg, which is a gang-infested area from where I come from. The local Methodist church is on a street where in June 2014, 14 people were shot and killed in 1 month on the doorstep of the church. The doors of the church are yet to be opened to that conflict. Rochelle, go and tell the church. Go and tell the church where to find me. Because they forgot it. Then the secretary says, go to the disciples and tell them that Jesus has gone ahead of you. It's a very comforting word, that there is nowhere in our future where Jesus is not. There is nowhere in our future where Jesus is not. He's gone ahead. And because he's gone ahead, you and I do not have to worry about tomorrow. Because who has ever added a single breath to their life through worry? And because you and I do not have to worry about tomorrow, we can spend far more energy and resources on the present. We are a people of this nation, of this world, that is addicted to tomorrow. We spend our life saving up so much for tomorrow. So much for tomorrow, while people die today. He's gone ahead of you. When are we going to entrust our future to Jesus? And then finally, go tell the disciples he's gone ahead of you. And where has he gone? He'll meet you in Galilee. He'll meet you in Galilee. That's where it all began. That's where everything started with this Jesus guy in Galilee. See, he's saying to them, go back to the beginning. Start over. Oh, that's an invitation of grace. That you and I are given permission to start over again. And to start over again. We can be the people we were designed to be. We can be the people we actually long to be. We can start over. Carry your questions, but carry them. Don't sit with them. Be open to being surprised to where Jesus is. He may even come to you through a mining company. You Lutherans are allowed to say amen to that.
Amen.
There we go. Be open to being evangelized. Be open to hearing the gospel from those who do not carry it officially. You do not carry it officially. Stop worrying about tomorrow. And start again after. You can even start again tonight. Let's pray. Living Lord, when we are overwhelmed, not least by the state of the earth, we read all the stats and it can paralyze us because we know that we do not have the strength to move the stone. And yet you are the Lord who honors those who goes to the tomb in any case. So give us courage to do that. I pray for those of us in our intimate relationships, those closest to us. For often, O God, it's in those relationships that the stone seems just too big to dislodge. Help us to go to those dead places within us, amongst us. Trusting that you will bring new life. Amen.
Creator God, the earth is of your making and not our own. May the way in which we live be a reflection of our gratitude for this wondrous gift, and may we work for its conservation and restoration. Help us to see the value in all living things and respect the beautiful connectedness of us all.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, celebrate the gift of creation.
Thanks be to God.